live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 269. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. And, man, what a great week of sports, great week of football, college football, NBA, NFL. We have hit everything. We've got great games across the board this week that myself, my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong, are going to talk about. Just a great time, beautiful weekend or week here in the Circle City. I'll bring on my co-host here, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Dude, it was an all-sports weekend again, man. But I know football kind of dominated, man. My hemisphere, anyway. So, like, no, man, I'm doing real well, man. Prime effect all over. You know what I'm saying? But, like, I know we got more to talk about than just Colorado and Colorado State, man. So, like, man, give us the official rundown.
Yeah, we're going to talk NFL. We'll talk Colts. We'll talk week two review, week three preview. And then we'll talk college football. Our guy Tanner will call on. We got Pick'em. Pick'em is back again tonight. So we'll talk Pick'em for our picks for this weekend's monster slate of games. So can't wait for that, John. So let's dive right into it. We got Tanner calling in at about 7:50 this evening. But let's dive right into it. And we dive in with the breaking news. Nothing like a little breaking news, John, to start the show this evening.
What happened?
Breaking news. I'm surprised you didn't even see it. Breaking news from the world of the association, basketball association, that is, John. From Shams Narnia, after a contract extension negotiations have stalled, Buddy Hield and the Indiana Pacers have decided to start working towards a trade to trade Buddy Hield from the Pacers.
Yeah, man, it's happening, y'all. Maybe about a week ago, right when we got off the show last week, like a little dark web chatter, because, you know what I'm saying, that's when the NBA office, right after Labor Day, is when the NBA kind of the business starts coming back open and whatnot. And like Portland Trail Blazers and teams like the Pacers, you know, to a lesser degree, they really don't want to the season with any type of distractions. You definitely want to, you know, if it's a training camp, you want to have whoever's going to be with you the rest of the, you know, say 6 months or whatever, right? Who's going to be with you, man? So, like, Damian Lillard's got to, like, Brandon, like, I don't think he's going to be a Portland Trailblazer in December. I don't think he's going to be one in November. And then when you put that, because, like, what the chatter is all about, man, it's more than just, like, Portland and Miami talking. You see what I'm saying? Damian Lillard's going to get to Miami. There's like three or four other teams that are literally three or four teams that are going to help facilitate this trade. And when you say Buddy Hield, I feel like the Pacers are going to be in the mix.
So, yeah, well, as you can see on the Facebook Live, we've got the tweet. After contract extension negotiations have stalled out, Buddy Hield and the Pacers have started dialogue to work on finding a potential trade, league sources have said. So,
wow.
Buddy, on his way out of Indianapolis, sucks because he was a very good player for the Pacers, could open up the floor. But, John, with that, you have to figure that creates more playing time and possibly a starting position there for Ben Mathurin to finally come off that bench and to be a starter now.
Right, kind of forces that hand. And then Nesmith gets more playing time. Right, you would think at either guard spot. So, Buddy Hield definitely on his way out. I'm sure he ends up on somebody's, you know, big name Philadelphia, L.A. market.
Lakers.
Maybe in Dallas. Yeah.
he'll find a way. But, yeah, just breaking news is before we started the show this evening. So I wanted to get that out there, John, before we got talking about everything else. But let's dive into the world of the NFL, John. Week two. Let's start it off. Colts, Texans. Colts win 31-20 down in Houston, John, but it may have cost them. Center Ryan Kelly with the concussion. Anthony Richardson, two rushing touchdowns, and then slams his head on the second touchdown. Richardson concussed, goes out of the game early. Gardner Minshew comes in, and solid, solid role there for Gardner Minshew. And and then we'll see this weekend. Colts go to the Ravens, and Richardson obviously not clear from the concussion protocol yet, but the guy's got to learn to protect himself if he wants to last in this league. Right. And so far in six quarters, he's been injured two, if not three times already in these games.
No, man, hasn't finished a game yet. Looks like a world beater. Looks like he can play the part. You know what I'm saying? Still some, you know what I mean, things to clean up or whatever, but he looks like he can play the part of a quarterback. But there's some, I think some body, it might even be some body maturity. You know what I mean? It's kind of, you know what I mean, not being finished, you know what I mean, two games, man, it's just kind of raised a red flag for me. I'm not, it doesn't probably, I mean, Brandon, if I had to put my, you know what I'm saying, put my helmet on, you know what I mean, football helmet on, I don't think he's going to play on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And long term, they got to figure out, I mean, he's like, dude, he's got it. But, like, Brandon, they got to figure out, do you want to, like, how, like, do you want to bottle this up? You don't want to mess up this kid's career. You know what I mean? I don't, because a lot of times, don't these guys get, like, he's not going to slide, you know what I mean, with all those things, man. But, like, you know, this offensive line is playing well. And, you know, you're saying, think about it, how well could the coach be there, put themselves in a winning position if Jonathan Taylor and all that was, you know what I'm saying? And that's going to hopefully get resolved, right? But, you know what I'm saying, yeah, man, the kid, it's just a red flag for me, Brandon, because you do not want to potentially shorten this kid's career just because, you know what I'm saying, of the not his maturity level, you know what I'm saying? I'm just talking about his, like, physical, like the physical nature of the NFL is rigorous, man. And he, again, man, we go back to the snaps. How many snaps he had in Florida? Like, man, then you haven't really played a whole lot of big boy football. He hasn't. You know what I mean? So now you're asking him to go out here and wreck him up. So, like, I think he probably sits maybe in two more games. But it won't be super kid gloves. But, like, man, like when the things pop up, if it was just an ankle or something like that, I think, you know, it wouldn't even be like, hey, man, just get on out there, tape it back up. But because it is a concussion and those things are, you know what I'm saying, a little bit more, even more important, even more important than a knee or you know what I'm saying, a hammy or something like that, I mean, you know, they had to play with kid gloves, and I think he potentially sits.
Okay. And they're not in a bad situation with Gardner Minshew. They're not. I think they're okay with that. And I think more
right. –
What's getting hidden is Ryan Kelly and his concussion, you know. That's your starting
right,
center right there. He was out a whole month. So, and you got to think, he's not going to have many years left in him there in that position. I thought the defense played well, but let's also pump brakes a little bit. The Texans aren't that good. They're just not. They're not good. And,
real vanilla. Right?
You know, I saw a video of a fight down there between the Texans fans. It just got all sorts out of hand. I was looking for Reggie. I didn't see him in there fighting. So
that was the more entertaining part of the damn game, wasn't it? The damn fight they had
exactly.
The fans.
So let's go through Colts. And we got Colts and Ravens. We'll talk that as we go through our pick 'em for week three. Vikings on Eagles were on Thursday night, John. Eagles win 34-28. Kirk Cousins and the Vikings kept it close towards the end. Eagles defense a little sus here so far to start the season.
Right. I Brandon, you know what I'm saying, not to like put the cart before the horse, man. I think they're going to trade Kirk Cousins. He's playing at a level.
To the Jets?
And because the media, he's playing at a top level. And that's not necessarily not a surprise, but, like, where is the team going? And, like, his value as a quarterback, they're not really talking about extending him. He's a media darling now. You didn't fell in love with him from the daggone show. Wasn't he on the daggone he was featured on that daggone
quarterback.
Yeah, he was featured on there, man. You didn't fell in love with him. I kind of have, too. I ain't going to never forgive him for the shirt off and the chain and the dag.
You
not,
like that?
It's forever ingrained in my brain. But he has been playing better. But, like, dude, I don't know, man. He went from being, like, trying to take one for the team, being the leader of the team when he was trying not to be overcritical of, you know what I'm saying, the young wide receiver who, I mean, Brandon was bang, bang. I don't know. He didn't stretch out for it, yeah, but, like, you know what I'm saying, hell, they all stretch out for it. But it was almost kind of damn near Aaron Rodgers. Like, man, you know, he said, well, maybe I need to, he said, maybe I need to throw a better pass. But you kind of threw shade there, too. I don't think there's any – I don't think they're not going to give Kirk Cousins away. But I think his time in Minnesota is up. Again, him and the offense have kind of played at the level of B plus, you know what I'm saying, level that they kind of are kind of accustomed to. But, like, this team is not going anywhere. The defense, right here, come on, be for real. Minnesota.
Yeah, they had nine rushes. Alexander Mattison had 8 rushes for 28 yards. That's not get it done. You lost Dalvin Cook. You didn't re-sign him. So you don't have a run game. What?
No, they're pass happy for sure.
Yeah, so they actually addressed within the last hour. They have addressed the running back position. They have actually just traded within the last hour with the Rams, and they now have Cam Akers as their new running back in Minnesota, per Adam Schefter, in the last hour.
Well,
so Cam Akers,
I mean, maybe
is now.
They're trying to still win, man, because I don't think they're really connected. You know what I mean? They don't sound like a connected group at all. They sound like a bickering more so than like, hey man, the quarterback's good, the wide receiver has great potential, but they still haven't given him an extension yet either.
Right.
You know what I mean? They let Dalvin Cook go. Like, what are they doing, Brandon? You have a lot of things in the works, but you don't have anything you really want to keep.
Yep.
And it pisses away games. So like, you might as well piss away your quarterback that you really don't want. The Jets are taking. You already know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Falcons win 25-24. Jordan Love throws another 3 touchdowns. But Bijan Robinson, 124 yards rushing. Desmond Ridder aired it out a little more. 237 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. But Falcons, Arthur Smith, get it done.
Yeah, Desmond Ridder's first pick in, like, I don't know how many starts. It was it wasn't like nothing like crazy, but you know what I mean, because he's young, but like, yeah, threw a pick, but he managed to have a, you know what I'm saying, pretty solid game. You know what I mean, he got some wiggles on him, man, so he has some escapability, and like, they have a prime time running back in Bijan Robinson. Knock knock, everybody, the Atlanta Falcons are 2-0 potentially. Who they got coming up? They could be 3-0.
Falcons take on the Detroit Lions.
They could be 3-0. I know our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, one of the biggest Detroit Lions fans, ain't going to want to hear that. But, like, man, the Falcons are playing pretty – I mean, I ain't saying Detroit is playing bad, but, like, the Falcons are playing, you know, a little bit more air-free football. And, like, man, there they are. And it's because of the running back and the quarterback play.
Yeah. Next up, Bills and Raiders. Josh Allen had himself a game again, 3 touchdowns, 274 yards rushing. Bills destroy the Raiders 38-10. I don't have anything additional on this game.
I don't either, man. It was a game that they needed for darn sure, because if they had –
Josh
looked like
had negative two yards rushing.
Yeah. If they had – if the Raiders had anything close, man – they would be – yeah, I told you, man, I'd take the Bills off anything, but now I got nothing.
Ravens 24, Bengals or 27-24 Ravens over the Bengals. Joey B and the Bengals are 0-2. Burrow looks bad. He looks injured. He might – I'm hearing he might not even play in Monday night's game coming up. So that's a concern. But Ravens got it done, John. Lamar Jackson, 237 and 2 touchdowns. Baltimore, the big win in Cincinnati. Joey B, trouble start early for the Bengals.
Yeah, big divisional win. Kind of helps, you know what I'm saying, Lamar with the he's kind of underneath the radar, man. You know, just kind of out this, kind of going out there and take care of the business, man. You can't really hate on it. Lamar Jackson might be the MVP.
I called that early in the season. Remember when we were talking with Justin?
Yeah, with the stars in line, and Lamar Jackson could really be the MVP, man. So, Joe Burrow teams got to be more now, Brent. I feel like they got to be more than just, like, this superstar quarterback. And, you know what I'm saying, I get it. Like, he played in LSU and according to Cigar, he's the quickest one to the Super Bowl as far as that draft class is concerned. But, like, man, maybe he's a little burnt out. Has anybody ever thought of that? And then it's not easy, like, to keep on bouncing back and forth between a hospital by knife and coming back to rehab. And like, you know, it's crazy Aaron Rodgers is. Like, he's talking about coming back from a daggone, you know what I'm saying? He's talking about coming back at the end of this year if he can. But, like, nah, man, I think – are they in trouble, the Bengals? I don't think so. But, like, they got to start thinking – they got to start, you know what I'm saying, stringing some wins together. And somebody, the other team, other guys, are going to, you know what I'm saying, got to start doing the heavy lifting. It can't just be Joe Burrow.
Yeah. Yep. So we'll see. T. Higgins, those contract talks for extensions have stalled. Looks like he's going to be done after this year in Cincinnati. They've got a lot of other players they got to pay. So it's understandable for that. Seahawks 37, Lions 31, Geno Smith and the Seahawks won it in overtime, John. I thought that was for sure one that the Lions were going to get. Seahawks come back and get them.
Crazy Dan Campbell, the coach. He's crazy, man. Like, you can be aggressive and, you know what I'm saying, gadgetry, you know what I mean, as, you know, week one, and maybe, you know, but, like, he tries to pull these, you know, fake punts or, you know, send too early, you know what I mean, and it costs the team, man. Plus, Goff he didn't play terrible, but like they you can't survive three. They had three turnovers. They turned the ball over. The running back turned. I mean, they you can't. Nobody can play winning football like that if you turn the ball over three times in the first half alone. So, no man, no surprise there. Seattle, you know what I'm saying, jumped on top of that. You get a good game out of Geno Smith. You get a dub. There you go.
Probably a rematch later on we'll see in the playoffs. Chiefs 17, Jaguars 9. Jags had their chance. The Chiefs their offense just doesn't look good, John. There's no fluidity to this Chiefs offense. And I don't think it's a cause for concern, but this ain't like the typical Chiefs team that we've seen normally in the past.
Well, yeah, remember, the big target ain't out there. Travis Kelce ain't out there.
He played.
And, oh, did shame on me, man. I thought
he
set out.
No. He played the whole game. He had 9 targets, 4 catches for 26 yards and a touchdown.
Well, I'm just going off game one, right? And just kind of looking at, like, I pull up the stats right now, man. It ain't like the Jaguars kind of blew anybody out the water. Maybe they got it. Brent, don't you think they're kind of waiting on getting close to the playoffs? And some of this is going to be a drag, like, you know what I'm saying?
Very well.
You know, week three, week four, week five is going to be a drag. You know what I mean? For them, they just try to get to week 12 when they can really, like, pour it on.
Right. Okay. Next game, John.
Oh, God. Here we go, y'all.
I said it last week. I called out this organization that they were dead. They laid down. This week, John, they traveled down to sunny Tampa, Florida against Baker Mayfield and the Bucs. And they should have got a win, John, but the Buccaneers win 27-17 over the 0-2 Bears. And it gets worse that the FBI has raided Hallis Hall today. The defensive coordinator has resigned. Justin Fields today said in his thing, he points to coaching for the robotic play. Everything horrible right now in Chicago.
Uh-oh. I didn't know Justin Fields was going to get that dude. You just shut up. Because he's not playing great.
He said that he points to coaching for the robotic play.
They got offensive line problems, Brandon, because when you look at it, man, in two games, have they put together 150 yards together? I don't think so. In two games, I'm talking about the total team. I ain't talking about just, you know what I mean? So I kind of look at their offensive line woes. Justin Fields can say that, but, like, man, you haven't necessarily, like, wowed us up. Like, man, you threw the ball to the other to the other team. That's not what you're supposed to do. You know what I mean? And he's not – we ain't talking about rookie Justin Fields no more, right? So a lot of finger-pointing. If it's, they need to take the temperature of the room, Brandon, and if they know Justin Fields – and they've been I kind of couldn't believe it, man, when I first heard it because, like, these little rumors and stuff started, like, last year at the end of the season. I was like – they was like, well, we don't know if Justin Fields is our guy. And that, those, like, little, you know, little tips, like, man, what are they talking about? So, like, man, I think if the trade deadline is October, what, is Halloween night? If they don't know, uh-oh, he's got that Undertaker. don't play that, man. If they know Justin Fields ain't that guy, man, they probably would just go ahead and try to see what they can get. What can you get with Justin Fields on open market? Two second rounders, maybe?
Yeah. But Baker Mayfield 2-0.
Well, we all know, he always is good for five games, ain't he? He's good for five games. The problem with
Titans 27, Chargers 24. I took the Titans in our pick'em. You took the, I think you took Chargers. Let me look and see. I took Titans. Yeah, you believed in the San Diego Chargers and took the Chargers.
That's what you need to be playing the daggone Undertaker music for.
They ain't dead yet. They ain't dead yet. Not as much as the Bears.
Brandon, come on, man.
I still believe, John. I still believe.
Man, Herbert is a quarterback. He ain't the leader. The coach.
Oh.
The Tennessee Titans. They let Tannehill. Man, Tannehill looked like Peyton Manning out there. What's name even had? Like, I don't even think he had a great game. He just had an okay.
Hey, man,
game.
They didn't have Austin Eckler didn't play. Their main running back didn't play. What do you want Herbert to do, Johnny? He threw for 305 and two touchdowns.
He's 250. They gave him that $253 million.
And okay.
He's the leader of the team.
Okay. I'm glad you said that because in about five games from now, I'm going to ask you the same question.
When they won in four?
No. I've got five games here for week two. There's a game coming up. I'm going to ask you. There's a team that paid somebody a very, very, very large contract, and he's playing like a quarterback that should only make about maybe $10 million.
Are we going to get on everybody? All right.
So remind me. I'm going to bring him up. Next one, John, coming up, The Undertaker. I need to play The Undertaker's theme. Giants 31, Cardinals 28. They went from being outscored 60-0 the first six quarters of the season, and they explode for 31 points in the second half, beat the Cardinals 31-28.
Well, they exploded. The problem is the Cardinals was trying to tank. The Cardinals would rather lose that game. but special teams goes out there and kicks the field goal, they win the game, man. How can the fan base be mad at that, right? They got concerns in New York, man. They got big-time concerns in New York. If you're struggling against the bottom, and I get it, great. You know what I'm saying? That they won or whatnot, right? But if you're struggling against the bottom of the barrels, then what does that say about the rest of your season? Three wins, four wins. There you go.
Okay. 49ers win 30-23 over the Rams. 49ers continue to look dominant. Speaking of the Rams, or the 49ers and the Giants, who we just talked about, they play tomorrow night. We'll preview that game, but 49ers and Giants play tomorrow night, Thursday night football. But Niners win 30-23. Rams kick a field goal late, cover the spread. I was kind of surprised they went for the kick like that, but I think McVay knew what the spread was.
Yeah. Yeah, these teams are going to, no surprise here on either one of these teams. I'm glad the Rams have been able to bounce back. They look like they were left for dead outside of that win against Seattle. You know what I'm saying? They look like and thinking about what happened with them last year. But, like, I think we're going to get a competitive Rams. Like you said, man, the San Francisco 49ers look down. It doesn't matter if it's Brock Purdy, you know what I'm saying, Darnold. If I was Zach Wilson after the Jets cut me, next year or whatever, man, I'm trying to get out to San Francisco so they can guru me back into a quarterback. But, like, nah, man, all jokes aside, man, their defense for the 76 49ers is I don't have the numbers. I mean, like, who's rated, but they got to be top. They got to be in the top three right now. And I know the season's early, but they got to be in the top three.
I can actually give it to you. Give me a second. I got them right in front of me. Defense. Team.
I don't know if it's on your mind while you're looking up, Brandon, because they was putting that crap on ESPN. They was like, who's the top three defensive players in the NFL right now? And your homie TJ Watt, obviously, everybody was saying he was number one. I was like, man, well, what about the Bosa brothers? Where are they at? Are they 2 and 3?
No. I don't
know. Is Micah Patrick two? Micah Patrick's number two?
You know who leads the league in tackles?
The homie from the Colts?
Zaire Franklin.
Well, that don't mean he's like, come on now. I don't think he's the best.
No, but you got to give him some love.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Got to give him some love. Yeah, we'll get to it. Cowboys win 30-10 over the Jets, John. They, to me, look like the most complete team right now. If they can stay healthy, John, they can win that Super Bowl. I'm saying it. If they can stay healthy.
So you saying they would need, don't they need help to be, the Philadelphia Eagles don't necessarily look like world beaters this year, do they?
No, they don't. Nope. Super Bowl hangover.
If things need to run through Dallas, as far as the NFC is concerned, I can see it happening.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stand for it, man. Then the Cowboy people going to go crazy on this, man. But, like, nah, man, I can see it happening.
Game is, because I'll circle the calendars. Well, in 2 weeks, John, we got Sunday Night Football, Cowboys at the Niners. So we'll get a true litmus test when they go to San Fran to take on them.
Right.
And then give me a second here. I'm trying to find the week. Week number 9, November 5th, Cowboys at Eagles. That'll be the second litmus test for Cowboys. But right now, John, between them, if you put a gun to my head right now, say, Brandon, I need you to pick two Super Bowl teams right now, just based off performances, I would right now, this is barring any injuries, it would have to be the Cowboys and the Dolphins. Both of them are playing outstanding right now.
I don't love Miami.
I don't either.
I don't. Because Tua, I don't love
be
them.
Nice. Be nice.
They are a very fast team. And they really want, you know what I mean? But, like, as far as, like, when you talk about do they have all the, you know what I'm saying, what they necessarily need, like, do they got some hard hitters on that defense? You know what I'm saying? I think Dallas got a better defense. I definitely know San Francisco got a better defense, man.
Yep.
Miami might have a better quarterback than either one of those teams. I'm sorry if y'all thought, you know what I'm saying, the homie Dak Prescott was better than Tua. He's not. But like, man, he got a better team around him. Dak has a better team around him, man. I can't, but like, they gotta stay healthy, man. And that has been a challenge for him, for sure.
Yep. Commanders win 35-33 over Russ and the Broncos. And an entertaining game. Russ and the Broncos coming back late, missed failed 2-point conversion. They tried to let Russ cook. I know you're not a believer of him anymore.
Man, it didn't like warm up to the last quarter, man. Like, they didn't want to be embarrassed, you know. They got a lot of things to work out, but they are behind the eight ball because they, you know what I'm saying, they haven't won a game, you know. Got a little bit more offense than from week one. That's a plus, but you, like I said, you know what I'm saying, offense, you know what I mean, is great, but they didn't win the game, you know what I mean. So they're not going to trade or cut Russ, you know what I'm saying, no time soon, but like his days in Denver being a starter are numbered.
Oh, wow. Don't Sierra's not going to like that. We talked to Dolphins and Patriots. Saints and Panthers. Saints, Derek Carr and the Saints don't look now. They're 2-0. They win 2017 over Frank Wright and Bryce Young, and the Panthers do not look good, shockingly.
No, yeah, Bryce is running for his life. They're going to definitely, in the offseason, look at offensive line. support, probably even, you know what I'm saying, you know, the running back, you know what I mean, that, you know, they need some dynamism, or, you know what I mean, if that is a word, at that position. But, like, nah, man, watch out, the Saints are 2-0, man. Look at that division, that NFC South, bounce back.
Yeah, Falcons and Saints leading the way, and Bucks, so, yeah, looking strong. Then the last one of Monday Night Football, Steelers and Browns, the rivalry. Nick Chubb out, going to have double surgery, which is wild. But man. Steelers win 26-22. John, the offense still looks as fucked up shitty as it's always been the last couple years under Matt Canada. Matt Canada is trash. Matt Canada needs to be fired. I don't understand if he's got dirt on Mike Tomlin or what. If they're gay lover, I don't know what they've got, but he's got some dirt on him that for some reason, Matt Canada still has an effing job, and it's ridiculous. But Mike Tomlin did say in a press conference the other day that they have to start looking at all phases, and that's including the offense. And if the play doesn't improve, they're going to have to do something. So that's the first I've heard Tomlin say that. But the defense, John, the defense shelled out. 2 touchdowns on the defense. T.J. Watt just wrecking havoc. Isn't that crazy, John, that he's only in his fourth year, Steelers, who are known for a defensive team, and he's already set the season record, franchise record for sacks?
Right, crazy. I'm going to circle back to what you just said, man. First off, man, we love the LGBTQ+ community.
Yes, we do. But he must have dirt.
Secondly, though, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, man, do you – you're concerned, but you really don't care, man. If your quarterback went out there and threw, like, you know, Shardur Sanders and threw, like, 375 yards, man, you'd be crazy. You'd be like, nah, man, it's not for real because that's not what the Pittsburgh – I mean, I get it. Ben has done it. Big Ben had done it from time to time back in the past, but that's not
– for 500.
What the fuck you want? Yeah, one a couple times though, Brent, but it's not like, you know, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. Those are
averages 289. He averaged 278 or 279 career average.
Yeah, but like, so listen, this is what y'all trying to say. The balance is what you want. This is what this. I mean, it could Pickett be better? Yes, because I didn't. Did they not score offensive touchdown to the fourth quarter, or did they not score offensive touchdown? I forgot what the stat was.
John.
But,
John,
uh-oh.
They. They did not run an offensive play, not just within the red zone all game long, but they never ran an offensive play inside the 30-yard line, the entire game. Not one play.
Right, I know, and usually, man, I put a graph up on Crossroads Sports story, man. Usually, like whatever. Cleveland, no, stop it. Cleveland had all
it's
the
over.
Luck. And, like, it's not over, man. Because
it's over. The season's over. It's over.
The Steelers win. The Steelers don't necessarily win because of great quarterback play. They win because the team played great. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's because the team played great, not necessarily because
the defense can't keep bailing you out every game, and that's what's going on. I'm sick of it.
You think so?
I'm sick of it. You know what? I listened to a lot of Pittsburgh sports radio the last 2 days, and I even called into the sports show over there. John, I know we don't have Deontay Johnson. That's fine. Dude never caught a touchdown last year. I know we don't have Cam Hayward, but the defense still showed up. But when you don't run an offensive freaking play inside the 20 or even inside the 30, the entire game as an NFL franchise, you can't luck yourself into one play. It's over. It's over. I'm canceling the season until they fire Matt Canada because there's no reason for me to get any hope for this team after the piss-poor performance that they just put out there offensively. And they're showing no signs of changing. If they're not going to change, why should I cheer for change? It's not going to happen. Why should I?
You're cheering for Dub.
Lose every game now until you change it.
Stop it.
It's over. Cancel the season.
Stop it. After a win, never.
John, my confidence level in Kenny Pickett right now under this regime is a 6.
I'm gonna say
maybe even a 5.
I'm going to say Pickett throws 2 touchdowns next week.
To the other team?
No, he's 2 touchdowns.
So now But, John, I think I have a right to be upset with this offensive piss-poor performance, correct? They're not changing anything.
Right. No, the numbers suggest that this is not where you want to be at. But I'm saying after a win, man, you take the ugly win however you want to take it.
No, because it bails out in that Canada, and that's bullshit. It shouldn't.
Well, the defense, hey, man, they built a strong defense. You can hit a home run.
You know what you're doing? You know what you're doing? You're wasting T.J. Watt's best years when you can't put an offense out there on the field that can sit there and last. This defense isn't going to last, John, the way it is. This is 2 weeks in. Defense can sit there and go – have to worry about an offense going three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out five times in a row. They're going to be gassed by the time it gets to week six, seven.
You got to at least get to the 30, 25. So you can get the special team out there. I'm telling you, Brandon, they'll figure it out.
Not until they fire him. Now I'm going to bring back your million-dollar question because you were talking about our buddy. The million-dollar question. Who's our quarterback? Justin Herbert. You're throwing him under the bus. What about the money that's been guaranteed to Deshaun Watson? And you get that type of offensive play?
I knew it was coming, man.
Excuse me,
hey, man. I hope Deshaun Watson is happy. You know what I mean?
He's getting a hand tug.
Oh man, see, like again, man, Brandon. I try to keep it on a higher level.
No, this is not what this show is. This show is we talk barbershop style talk.
Nah, man, sometimes I have the kids. They be listening, man, for the kids from the YMCA.
Well, they can cover their ears. Next time I'll give a little warning.
Then we go rabbit ears, y'all?
Yep,
put the rabbit ears
on. But Deshaun does. He's played like crap. I think he's played worse than Herbert.
Yeah, and right, and the numbers kind of show for but you got it. But Brandon, like you, the market
tongue-tied
money, man. The market staff is the tug guy. The market staff is like once he gets paid, man. But yeah, they're locked into him, so they got to figure it out.
Okay, we'll bring our guy on real quick. Decon, what's going on? You got a couple minutes.
He
got a call, man. Dude, we got to get this payment shit out the way.
I'll call back in when there's more time. I'm trying to get into you guys, man, but
I'm not about to press you. I'm about to raise it up because I like it. I watched that whole game, man. They went to Florida. Yeah. You playing in the South. I commend them because it's like I was shocked. I was texting back and forth with Brandon. I'm going to get your number later, D-Kai, and I might have it, but Alabama did a home and home, but it's smart because you know what? They packed the house for him.
I know you guys got your picks, but listen, I really want to dive into it, right? Because I was trying to get in last week about my nephew's game again. But I really want to get into this conversation with the Deion situation this past Saturday. Obviously, the situation with Jalen Milroe. So here's the deal. I don't want to be rushing. Now suddenly, you guys got your picks.
It ain't no rush.
By the way, you all need to do something about your picks, man. Y'all are struggling. We'll talk about that another time too. But let me tell you, right?
I went
10-3. In actual betting this weekend, 10-3.
It's about the point spread when we do the pick 'em. Now, if you ask me who's going to win straight up, Brandon on who's going to win straight up.
Y'all need to change up a little bit, man. Because we said
Purdue was going to win, they screwed us over.
See, okay, all right, guys, that's what it is. So listen, as we talked about the Bama thing, right? Here's the deal. I'm not down there, and I don't have any inside information, but I believe that I talked to people, but not like that. But what I'm saying, I've talked to enough people to realize that there's enough hate down there for Jalen Milroe for who he is. That I think it could be that Nick Saban says, these guys aren't him. So I'm going to let them play against a team that we're definitely going to beat and let them see what they're like. I don't know what else you can call it. Because there's no way Nick Saban is at practice every game, every day, seeing these guys play and to think Buckner had an opportunity to play Division I football. There's no way.
Right.
There's got to be no way. You know, so again, that's a stretch and that's a far reach. But if you think about it, what else could you say, shut up, fans, the right guy is in there. So how do you go in on Monday saying on Saturday you're going to reevaluate every quarterback and make the right decision? There was no practice but one on Monday.
I listen to Down South Radio, man, particularly out of Memphis, out of Tennessee. They think they're talking that, you know, it's in SEC country, right? They thinking that this is like an in house suspension type, you know what I mean, punishment. I don't know if he stayed out, you know what I'm saying, later than he was supposed to or whatever, or he didn't hit 350 on the bench press. I don't know. You know, they got different things down there.
Right,
now, man.
Right. And it's like, possible, yeah. Right? But it can't – it's
yeah.
not that he thought one of those guys was better, man. We you know, my brother and I went back and forth from Saturday.
Right.
So, I'm going to tell you this, right? You know, you got this, you know, the world's against us, Saban's fading. Like you said, Saban's fading. We had Bama fans something. We had 50% of the fans say it's time for him to hang it up. He's too soft in his old age to see what Bama really needs. And there's a lot of veiled stuff in those conversations, just so the point. So these people, he makes the decision to start this young man who was in the system the same amount of time Ty is, right, by the way. Same amount of time. Won games last year. But yet you're telling me another guy who hasn't played, who hasn't shown anything, is the guy, and you're telling me he is because of what you think? Milroe is going to finish this. If he doesn't finish the season off, it is a wasted season because that guy isn't there right now. That guy isn't mm-hmm. there. So I just believe that Milroe is going to finish off the season. Bama's not a 2017 Bama. But
right, they don't necessarily have the offensive line push and defensive line push that they've had in years past. I told Brandon, I was like, but all jokes aside, man, I know, you know, so we had to rise you a little bit and we could jump in on Colorado.
Of course.
But all jokes aside, they're still floating around. They'll float in the top 10 all year round. They will float in the top 10 all year.
Let me tell you something. Let these people sleep on Bama if they want to. They'll be seeing them host a trophy in January. They sleep on them if you want to, because here's what I love, though, right?
You talking about the East Trophy or the West Trophy? Which one you talking about? You're talking about the
No, I'm talking about the National Championship.
The Holiday Bowl Trophy? The Holiday Bowl?
Yeah, right. this isn't Purdue. We're not talking about Purdue. So what I'm saying is the talent is spread. What I love about the NIL, talent is spreading. Talent is spreading, man. Teams are being more and more. So now it will be coaching, execution, and all that. I'm okay with that. You know what? Guess what? You lose your fastball. What you do is this: you bring your changeup, you bring your curve, right?
You don't have one out there. I've seen that roster.
Listen, you can say what you want, right? But I'm just telling you this, and I'm
saying what you think about Colorado?
That's that hating you, Brandon.
Colorado State.
Listen,
I know you watched it.
Listen, of course I did.
Stayed up late.
You know what I love? No, halftime I was gone, man. It's too late for me, but last time I was done. So what I'll say to this, Deion has brought a level of energy to college football that we were starving for, to be quite honest. He's distracted us from NIL. He's distracted us from players moving. He's distracted us from colleges moving different conferences. I love it, man. I love it. Again, I'm never going to be a college
NIL
fan.
NIL ain't came up in his program not one time.
Not yet. Lil Wayne's paying it. All the money's going to these rappers.
I'm telling you. This is dude. But I'm saying is this. It's good for college football, man. You got to love
this. That's crazy.
You got to love the chaos.
That whole scene down
football.
There. That whole scene there, Brandon, I was big on him leaving Jackson State. I said, hey, man, anybody who got a checkbook and $4 or $5 million need to try to holler at him, tell Tom Allen to go to hell. I know he would never come to Indiana. They ain't rocking that. Deion, they ain't ready for that down in Bloomington.
Oh, no.
But if you wanted to make it, that is it. That's it. I don't know if he stayed. I really don't know, because when I look at the lay of the land and, like, what can happen in the next 2-3 years, I don't see Deion Sanders going to Alabama. I don't see Deion Sanders going back to Florida or even Florida State, to be honest with you.
I believe he stays goes to the South. I believe he goes somewhere in Florida, potentially a Clemson type situation.
I mean, Colorado found some money. He stay there. I'm saying
but listen, when his son leaves, I think he's going to start looking. When his son leaves, I think he looks. You know, and I can't blame him.
Then big Sarkisian was to like leave because of Saban. You know what I mean? If that kind of happened, Texas, they not dealing with Deion, and he not dealing with.
Let me tell you this. To that point, a great point, Jonathan. Great point. One of the things that Steve has continued to say, he owes his life to Nick Saban. He said he continued to say that before the game, continually, right on the pivot and everywhere. And I wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't blow me away that he says, you know, the only job I'd leave for in college would be to replace the guy who saved him. And again, but you're not talking about next
year. Jesus,
next,
I'm about to throw up.
Listen, that's fine because I heard you talk about Pittsburgh last week. That's what I was throwing up. I want to hear you talk about Pittsburgh this week.
Did you not hear me already? I just went on a 15-minute rant.
No, I just said I just got on.
Well, then you better re-listen.
Well, he should then. He should kill him because everybody else is killing him too. And Oakland's going to kill him this weekend too. So with that, yes, I called them Oakland. They won't be called Las Vegas until they win a playoff game. They're Oakland Raiders.
The San Diego Chargers are terrible.
Exactly. I agree 100%. But back to that, well, I'm not saying Sarkisian is going to Alabama. Don't get that twisted. What I'm saying is Nick's not leaving for these another 5 years. We can do all this talking we want.
I can't say five.
Mark it down.
I can say five.
I'm okay with putting a little bit of a cachet on it. I say five.
Okay.
I say five. So I'm not talking about, you know, next year Sark's coming. No, I'm just saying someone like that who feels a debt of gratitude to Nick Saban and the University of Alabama. I'm just telling you, I can see that's going to be the replacement person, that's going to be the replacement person in the next 5 years. That is. But anyway, but back to that point, right? Colorado, Deion is great for college football right now. He's a distraction. I hope they do very well. But I got a feeling they're going to take it on the chin this week. And I'm telling you, he's opening himself up, right, to a lot of criticism, and that's okay. He's done that since day one. Remember when he said if Detroit Lions, the worst franchise in NFL history, drafts him, they're going to have to put him on layaway. He's going to ask for so much money. He's been that guy. If you go back and look, he said if Detroit drafts me, they're going to have to put me on layaway. I'm going to ask for so much money. So my point is he's always brought attention to himself. This isn't anything new. He's the same cat he was as a junior at Florida State. Same cat.
You may not love him, but you got to respect it. The best shot of beating Oregon is if they can get a decent pass rush. They get a decent pass rush on the quarterback and kind of speed up his time. Otherwise, man, that quarterback got enough in him to kind of like pick apart his whole secondary. Now, that don't mean he ain't going to throw no interceptions. You heard me?
Especially with your best two-way players out. Yeah, Bo Nix will give you a few. He'll give you a few chances every game. He's going to give you a few chances. But we'll see what happens. But, again, with Hunter being out, that's going to be tough on the back end for Colorado. I don't see them being able to hold up long-term over the time of the game.
Decott, we opened up the show with some breaking news this evening with Shams, after his reporting that after contract extension and negotiations stalled out, Buddy Hield and the Pacers have started dialogue to work on a potential trade, league sources have said. Now, that came out about 20 minutes before the show started.
Yeah, I saw it. I respect it. I got my Pacer app, right, and it sent me the little update deal, right? And I'm okay with that, right? We've talked about the Buddy Hield thing for a while. I was talking about him coming in as a sixth man anyway or a guy coming off the bench. If they can't come to it, because they're probably looking at him as that guy, right? He's looking at himself as, hey, I'm an 18 point per game guy. Man. You have to give me an opportunity. That's what I
won't be
saying.
Surprised.
From what I've read, the money he wants, what the Pacers offered him, it was he was not appalled, but he was disheartened and upset with the amount the Pacers offered him.
Well, that doesn't surprise me, right? Because I think they look at him differently than he looks at himself, right? But to the point about Buddy Hield, I know you guys posted about the Jermaine O'Neal deal, and I just saw my post. Hey, man.
Uh-oh.
Hey, if you want to talk about this, talk to Pacer fans who know. Jermaine O'Neal, he cacheted his way out of the city of Indianapolis when things got difficult. All his talk was, hey, I understand. If they got to trade me, I understand. He wasn't talking that until it got tough. So the hell with Jermaine O'Neal and his fight with myself, no working on his legs or upper body, no thank you. He has the nerve to talk about somebody. His number, listen, man.
Y'all never
absolutely
tired, man. You did not do enough as a Pacer, bro.
Man,
sorry,
whoa,
man.
Whoa. He's the only Pacer in franchise history to be All NBA. The only Pacer.
This isn't about All NBA, Brandon. This is about being a Pacer. And I said to you guys in the chat,
I'm being a Pacer.
Brandon, he got to get in line, sir. He got to get in line. There's a lot of other great Pacers in front of him. It ain't got no
Pacer fan. As a Pacer diehard,
where Mark Jackson's at?
I just named three guys: Billy Knight, Don Boozy, Rick Smith. He gave the city of Indianapolis less than all three of those guys.
None of the three are Hall of Famers like the Pacers.
You're right.
The Pacers
and
only do the Hall.
And Jermaine O'Neal won't be a
Hall of Famer. But I'm just saying, in general. Here's the crazy thing: between the Pacers and the Colts. You have one team that won't retire any jerseys unless you're a Hall of Famer, which is fine. And then you have the other team who raises banners for an AFC finalist and puts every single person and their brother in their ring of honor.
Brandon, I'm glad you said that because one is
a
great organization and one is a pathetic
organization. You trying to say Dwight Freed don't deserve to be in the ring of honor?
Hell no.
Dallas Clark. Stop it.
Brandon, are you trying to pivot away from my hatred for Jermaine O'Neal?
No.
Yeah, that was a good swivel. I like that. But I'm telling you, the nerve, he's not at the games. He doesn't come to the city. I see Rick Smith. You've seen Billy Knight.
Oh, man, he got a good point, man. Jermaine O'Neal didn't.
Believe me.
JB, how many times did you go to Club 7? I never saw you there. How many did you support him?
I just shut it down.
He doesn't need to be supported. But listen, man, that is such Jermaine O'Neal was so disrespectful to the prior Pacers. He has, and this goes to show how he doesn't get the understanding of the culture, right? Him having the nerve to talk about his number and the prior place. Rick, you gonna tell me he gave the city of Indianapolis more than Rick Smith did? Well, are we doing this? And Rick Smith is at least 10 games a year, man. Jermaine O'Neal is nowhere to be found.
I got Danny Granger over Jermaine O'Neal, man.
Maybe he's not there because he's not retired. Maybe that's why he's not there.
Listen, he's not there because he doesn't deserve to be there.
In the end, Crossroads Sports got what they wanted, and that was getting some
Jermaine
O'Neal. Good talk.
All these dudes
in
front of Jermaine O'Neal,
I love it. And you get me going on this Pacer talk, man. That gets me fired up. But I'm gonna tell you though, man. This year is going to be interesting. And this Bubby is saying, hey, let's work this out. I'm okay with letting them trade him, man. We're not some team that's going to go deep in the Eastern Conference this season. So why not make it happen? Get some more capital and continue to build, right? Build towards something. This season is going to be an exciting season.
The only thing about that, Buddy Hill. You say that, man. What's the name? They're going to ask about the homie and if the Pacers want to trade him too. I think McConnell will probably end up on another team.
I'm okay with that.
Our center. They're going to ask about him.
And that's okay, too. Like I tell my people at work, everything's negotiable. Everything and everybody.
Wow.
So we can I'm serious. From top
even
to,
Jermaine
from
O'Neal's
top
number.
Everything is negotiable.
Even Jermaine O'Neal's number. He pigeonholed himself out of the city by saying, I'll do whatever it takes for the organization, even if I've got to go. He wanted to go, man.
My mom and them was cleaning out the closet the other day, and she brought a bag of some clothes and different things that was in the closet that she was cleaning out. And I actually have my old Jermaine O'Neal jersey here, so that's the funny thing. Might have to post a picture of it tonight and say, D-Cow, where's that respect?
Hey, do that. That'll be funny. Hey, check this out. I've got two Paul George jerseys, right? My Cott Jr. bought me two of them. The day before he asked to be traded. I didn't burn them or anything, and I'm not selling them, but I'm not going to burn them. And I don't wear them, though, because I have them. So if you know anybody who wants the home and away, the gold and the blue, let me know.
Have you seen the video? it's dated, but have you seen the Crossroads Sports video, the live stream back in back when Paul George announced that next week he wanted the hell out of here?
No,
if you go back in the annals,
game, I know that.
If you go back in the annals of Crossroads Sports Facebook page, the videos, and you scroll all the way back, you'll see four jerseys getting burned.
Oh Lord! Oh Lord! Man, I can't do that, man. You can't.
And the commentary is great. It is great.
Okay, I will go back and look. And oh, by the way, let me tell you guys.
Maybe I'll repost
you know, that person. Do that. That person who says he's my friend, he misled you guys. I was on a voluntary hiatus from social media,
welcome
right?
Back.
I was in a cleansing, getting my thing. And you all saw what I did, right? You saw what I posted on my page,
yeah,
right?
I did.
Hey, $11,500, man. That's real, man. That's a big cause, and that's what we're trying to do, man. So I love you guys on the radio and everything like that, man. But definitely, I want to make sure we have this more dialogue about the Pacers, this Jermaine O'Neal thing, the Buddy Hield thing. You guys gotta go live or something. We gotta go. I know Brandon, you had talked about going live a few weeks ago. We gotta do this a spur of the moment. Hit me up, and we can, man. I would love to talk more. What do you say?
Yeah.
What do you say, Jonathan?
I've been telling Brandon we ain't been live in a long time, and we might be. I was thinking about doing something around USC when Colorado plays them.
He said, but the Buffaloes. That's okay.
We're gonna coordinate. It'll probably be on a Saturday. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's
sounds good.
Saturday or Sunday night.
Okay, and I'll finish up with this. Point blank, Pacers are doing it right with regard to jerseys and the Raptors and the retiring numbers. Colts, who cares? They're going to just do everything they do to get some attention. And last thing, mark it down. Saturday, Bama covers the spread, beats Ole Miss in Bryant-Denny Stadium.
What?
You all don't hear me? Exactly. You don't hear me bet on Bama.
I'll just pass.
Boy.
Cover the spread and beat Ole Miss and Bryant-Denny on Saturday.
On a limb on that one.
No. Listen, man. You guys just said that one of the worst colleges, Nick Saban's done. They're gonna go to the Holiday Blue Bonnet Bowl or whatever, right? Right.
Yeah, Deacon, I said it last week, and I don't know if you heard the part. I know you were busy, but when Saban and them lost the game to Texas. Typically, he's pretty pissed off and fired up, and he says some things in his press conference because he knows his team is good. He knows his team is better, should have played better, and that's not what they are in their caliber national championship team. After that press conference last week, he sounded decot. Like, he's like, well, we did the best we could. And he sounds like he knows this team is not going to get them to that point.
Brandon, we've all seen it. You're
like
this team isn't the team of 2017.
So they ain't gonna be raising no trophy this year, except for the Holiday Bowl.
Okay, they're not Purdue, like I said. What I'm saying to you is, I'm not telling you that they're winning the title. No, what I'm saying is, don't be surprised if they surprise.
John?
Yeah, I said, don't be surprised if they hang up a trophy in the air. Exactly what I said. And I said, and then Jonathan said, you mean a bowl? I said, no. I said a national. I said
he did say that.
It wouldn't shock me. Absolutely, it wouldn't shock me. I'm not calling it, but I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't. Man, I've learned you never doubt Nick Saban. You just don't. And I'm not gonna
this
say
year
they're gonna win. No, I'm not saying that. But, well, I'm not.
You know what, Brandon? Before DK get off this phone, Brandon, just go ahead and put me down. Bama covers in the next segment. Just don't.
Bama's covering.
DK got me hyped. He's right.
Hey.
Oh, Miss Lane Train, get out of my
car.
I ain't
Bama.
Buying it. Give me
never,
Bama cover. There you go. Get us into the next segment.
Hey, Brandon, I'll message you my number, man, and let's make sure we get together and have these conversations. And Brandon, definitely for sure, man. Remember, give me that. Post about the J.O. situation and then post the video, man. I would love to see it for sure. If you guys go live, message me and let me know if you guys are intending on going live this weekend. I'll make sure I'm available.
Sounds good. Thanks, Decott.
All right, fellas, be safe.
All right, that's Decott. John, I love Decott.
I'm taking Bama.
But he said they're gonna raise a trophy. What trophy? The winners of the best team in Tuscaloosa?
Ain't Alabama, don't they play in the West?
They do, but I think it's Texas A&M this year there. I think Texas A&M wins the West this year. I do. And I know they lost to Miami, but I think Texas A&M wins the West. So
we shall see.
Let's go through NFL real quick before Tanner calls in. He's going to be calling in here shortly.
Well, you want to take a what's your name? You want to take a break?
We still got to finish Pick'em. We haven't done Pick'em yet for the NFL. We got to finish that. Then we'll,
okay. Let's go.
Yeah, we'll roll through these quick. Giants and 49ers. John, I'm taking the Niners. Should be an easy roll.
Should be a roll, man. Give me the 49ers.
Colts at Ravens. Who do you like?
Man, unfortunately, even if Anthony Richard was playing, man, I still would take the Ravens.
Yeah, I'm taking the Ravens, too. I think they win there against the Colts. Titans at Browns. Give me the Browns. Deshaun Watson maybe plays better to earn that contract.
Nah, man. Titans play a little bit better. They need to kind of prove that they can do it consistently on the road, man. Give me the Titans.
Next one is Falcons at Lions. You liked the Falcons. I thought you heard you say. I'm going to take Detroit and bounce back.
I don't know, man. Dan Campbell, man, puts his team. He's got a good offensively minded team. They're balanced defensively, right? All those things, man. Again, the turnovers, man. And it ain't just the quarterback to turn over the ball, man. You playing on the road. They are technically the better team, man. I can't take them, man. They have to show it to approve me to the other take them. Atlanta at home. They're a feel good story, man. They're feeling good about the staff that they kind of put together. You know what I'm saying? In the last
at Detroit.
Two, three seasons, right? I thought you said earlier that it was on the show. No, man. Well, they got to get some good back. It's going to be a closer game there because I still going to be a closer game. I'm going to go with Atlanta. I'm still going because like Dan Campbell, man, again, boneheaded type of stuff. Like, dude, what are you doing?
Okay. Saints at Packers.
Oh, Packers got that, man. That dude's a walk. Hey, man, I wonder, do you know anybody who got Jordan Love as a quarterback? He's automatic three touchdowns.
Yep.
In fantasy.
He is. I've got the Packers as well. Lambeau against the Saints, give me the Packers. Jordan Love, another three touchdowns.
They still trying to figure out how to win. That team, great. That man, hey, Brandon, next year, look out. Next year, can you believe it?
Yeah.
Green Bay
next year. Two quick ones. Texans at the Jags, Broncos at the Dolphins. I'm going to take both home teams, Jaguars and Dolphins, and easy wins for both.
Yeah, it should be. Jaguars, man, that's a messy score on that one. But, yeah, give me the Jaguars and the Dolphins. Right from Florida.
Chargers at Vikings, battle of the 0-2s.
Man, battle of the teams you can just walk around and don't believe in. Give me the Vikings, man. Chargers ain't going to beat nobody.
I got the Vikings as well.
You want to take the Chargers. You not taking the Chargers? Come on, Brandon.
No, man, I'm taking the Vikings at home. Vikings at home.
Okay.
0-2 Patriots at the Jets. I'm taking the Patriots on the road against the Jets.
You know what, man, Brandon? They got a decent little team, the New England Patriots. I know they're 0-2. They got a decent little team, decent little quarter. Mac Jones is not Tom Brady. He ain't trash either. But they have a problem, like, scoring. They, you know what I'm saying, getting in the red zone. They got a problem, you know what I'm saying, all those things, man. But, like, special teams, they're nice. Defense is nice. And they're not necessarily bad on offense. It's like, man, he's not a field stretcher. Give me the Patriots, man, because I think they are a good team. It's one that after the game, man, I can't remember homie's name. He was like, man, we're a better team. He was really telling too. Like, if you really watch no football and watch the last couple two games, at least they've been in there. It's just they offensively they're kind of porous. They just don't have it. You know, what I mean, they can't punch it in. But in advanced NFL, you can't get it into the end zone, man. There's not a finger point between the coach and the quarterback. But they got enough to win, I think. And so give me the Patriots.
Bills at Commanders. I'm going to go upset special, Commanders. I think Commanders beat the Bills.
Man, Commanders, like, you got to like the coaching staff. You got it, man. They are – and they because they're on a hot seat, ain't they? They got new ownership. And the coaching staff has got, like, hey, man, we don't care who – Sam Howell or, you know what I'm saying, Dr. Bombay, doesn't matter, man, who's out there quarterback. Just don't throw it to the other team. They've been playing some pretty smart football. The homie, what's his name, Chase Young, he's back out there, and, you know what I'm saying, wrecking havoc and shit. Pardon my French, but, yeah, he's, you know, it was kind of what they wanted to do when he was kind of projected to be, like, so many moons ago. But, like, nah, man,
I want to go with you, man, but, like, Brandon, they are a feel-good story, man. But, like, nah, man, Buffalo writes that shit, man. Give me the Bills.
Panthers and Seahawks and Cowboys and Cardinals. I'm going to take Seahawks and Cowboys in a rout on the road at the Cardinals.
Man, with the Cowboys, hey, man, should we see Cup? We should see a whole lot of Cup in the second half, don't you think? You know what I mean? The backup for the Cowboys, man, you kind of, you know what I'm saying, rest up some of that Zach. Not Zach, give that, rest of some of that Prescott. Yeah, man. Unfortunately, man, I'm going blank right with you, bro. So, yeah, give me the Cowboys and the home team.
Chiefs and Bears at Kansas City. The Bears have a chance for the first maybe 30
they
seconds
do.
Of the ball game. Other than that, it's over.
Nah, man. Don't you know the Chiefs let everybody hang around, don't they? The Chiefs let everybody hang around, Brandon. This is a winnable game, Brandon.
The Bears let everybody hang around, including the FBI.
You want to do everybody gets – remember, everybody gets one upset special? This is mine right here, man. I'm going to go with the – because, hey, bro, I got people calling from Gary and parts in between, man. They're not happy with your Bears takes, man.
Prove something to me. Prove something to me, Chicago. Come on.
Upset special right here, man.
Okay. Steelers at Raiders, John. Sunday night football.
Aren't we just waiting for Josh McDaniel to get fired? I am. Steelers, man.
I'm taking the Raiders.
You want Matt Canada to get fired? This ain't the week he gets fired.
I'm taking the Raiders. At home.
What?
Yep.
This
told you, John.
Hey, y'all. Crossroads Sports. I haven't seen it. I haven't heard it. I've been affiliated with this show long past 2018. I can't believe it. And the Raiders are terrible. And this,
yeah.
And
we're going to have. I got the Raiders.
Okay. There you go. They ain't going to score 10 points.
Pittsburgh, you're right. Monday Night Football, you had two games again. Monday Night Football. Eagles at the Bucs, both of them, 2-0. Who do you like?
Man, they was arguing on the sideline, man. That's not good, man. That's not good. You know, quarterback fussing with diva receiver who's already kind of got labeled a diva receiver from being before, you know what I'm saying, how you get, you know what I mean? So now the paper trail's kind of following you. You know, Crossroads Sports are saying you got a Super Bowl hangover, you know what I mean? Some of these things kind of, and you haven't necessarily blown everybody. You're 2-0, but you necessarily haven't blown everybody away. You know what I'm saying? From a, you know, are we getting back in the hunt? Are we, you know, saying the team that, or you know, not the hunter. They the hunted. You know what I mean? But they look strong enough, and I like definitely, man. You know, I told you, man. Our homie down there in Tampa Bay, he'll give you five games. This just ain't one of them. So give me Philadelphia.
Final game on Monday night: Rams at the Bengals. Joe Burrow is likely probably not to play. I'm hearing. With that being said, I'll take the Rams to beat the Bengals. Bengals will go 0-3 with a backup quarterback.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with this, man. Even if he was going to play, man, he's just not looking that sharp. You want Joe Burrow to be as sharp as he possibly can. You don't want him to be limping in there. So I think he's right. He sits out maybe next two games, man, until he gets right.
Okay.
As far as this game, man, give us the Rams.
Last week for NFL, John, I went 11-5 with my pick'em.
Hey.
You went 10-6, so that was good overall. You have a one-game lead on me. I'm 17-15, and you're 18-14 for NFL pick'em. So going into this next week, so we'll see what happens. We're gonna go straight from there, folks, to our guy.
It's so hard for me to sit back here in this studio, looking at a guy out here hollering my name, when last year I spent more money on spilt liquor in bars from one side of this world to the other.
And with that, Tanner Penrod, welcome back.
What's up, fellas? You should have just let that thing play on because I feel like I have spent more money.
Tanner, rough college football week for you last week, buddy.
Yeah, I didn't like that. That was just a bunch of bullshit games. I had to get through it. I like them a little bit better this week.
I'll tell you this, pick 'em wise. I didn't do the greatest myself, but betting wise this weekend, I had a great week. Great week of betting. 10-4. I finished betting. Felt great. felt great. One of the ones, the last one I missed on was the Colorado State game. We just totally. Actually, no, I'm sorry. I hit that one. I hit the over. I took the over in that game. That hit, thank God, for the late scoring.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, gentlemen, our standings are Tanner still in the lead, 14-13-1. And then me and John are still tied, 11-16-1. So we're tied again, John. Every week we're tying each other on everything. So we'll see what happens for this coming week. So, gentlemen, we have a huge slate of games this week. Huge slate. I've got the board completely filled for us. First game is Friday night. Jonathan, we'll have you start us. Wisconsin, -7 at Purdue.
A great man once said, man, never vote. Never for Purdue football, get to Wisconsin.
Tanner.
You said Wisconsin's at Purdue?
Yep, Friday night.
6-7.
I got 7.
That means it's gone up, cocksucker.
Yes, it's gone up.
That means that's in my favor because I hate Purdue. Like Lee Corso said the other day, I just hate Purdue. I could play that over and over again. I'm not betting them. Give me Wisconsin.
I'm going to take Wisconsin as well. I picked Wisconsin to win the Big Ten West, so I think they get it done here against Purdue. Purdue's not showing any life at home yet. Maybe they can get up on a Friday night game thinking like a high school team, but we'll see. Give me Wisconsin as well. Next one, gentlemen, Georgia Southern at Ball State. Georgia Southern -7 at Ball State. Tanner.
Man, I don't know. Ball State did play a cupcake the other day.
They did.
Absolutely smoked them like a pack of ghouls.
Pushing around, yeah.
But it did. I think Georgia Southern's probably
a little bit level up. It's a little bit level up from Indiana State. It's a little bit level up from Indiana State.
I'm going to take Georgia Southern. They only lost by – it sounds bad. They only lost. They only lost to Wisconsin by 20 points at Wisconsin.
Okay. I'm going to take Ball State.
I think Georgia Southern might get it done.
Okay. I'm going to go opposite. I'm going to go Ball State. I think Ball State can cover this 7. Maybe Georgia Southern scores late and they don't cover the number with it. So Ball State may have a lead, but Georgia Southern wins. But I think Ball State covers at home, probably gives up a lead late like that. So I'm going to go that route. John?
Yeah, I got Ball State. I'm not going to sit there and say I heavily scouted Georgia Southern in the last 3 seasons and whatnot, man. But I do know what Ball State is trying to put together. And I feel like playing against the bigger boys, like they come back from those games playing against Georgia, playing against Kentucky, they feel like and then going into Indiana State and then taking care of business. Like when you play against somebody your own, you know, saying your own fit and your own size, so to speak, you know, your own depth, like, man, you have the advantage because you know how to, you know, say how I was balanced. You know how to play in whatever style, and you played against the best already. I like Ball State. I like Ball State to crush. Not necessarily crush like they did against Indiana State. Like, they ain't gonna put up no 40, but it might be a Mac night. You know what I'm saying? One of the Mac Thursday games where they put up at least 30.
Okay. Iowa, number 25, Iowa at Penn State. Penn State -14. Gentlemen, I don't know if you heard Kirk Ferentz's his son's comments in the post-game press conference. Did you hear him?
You talking about the assistant coach from Iowa State?
He has to score over 25 this year in the average. Basically, he told them, like, everybody's having fun with it, so you could take that thing and shove it up your ass, is pretty much what he said.
No, that's not the real thing. Man. You got to verify that Twitter account, man. Verify that, man. That's not, you got to find out. But like, no, man. So like,
I've John, I'm pretty sure that's verified.
I don't know, Brandon. Listen, man, he's got a, in his contract, y'all, the assistant coach who's the son, he's the son of the head coach, I do believe, or the brother, one of
yes,
the things.
Yes, son.
In his contract, he has to, like, because Iowa's got this knock again, man, they always got the talent, you feel like, to compete for a Big Ten championship, you know what I'm saying, and not just a division title, and to get to a better bowl game, but they offer their quarterback, man, that shit's horrible, man. It's never, like, and for them to turn out offensive linemen and for them to turn out, you know what I'm saying, you know, good tight ends in the NFL, man, people are, like, the people, the scouts and what the coaches the inside are, like, scratching their head, like, what the hell? Why isn't Iowa always in, like, the mix, man? And, like, this dude's got in his contract, he's got to average, the team has to average, like, 25 points a game, or he's going to get fired.
John, he said, get a ladder and climb out of my ass.
I think right now they're averaging like 28, so these are on pace. But I think, hey, man, I know we're supposed to pick them. I think Penn State's going to hold them under 20. So I got Penn State.
Okay. Ladders and go ahead.
Listen.
Five-point obsession, and I get it.
Hold on. Here we go.
And this is what he said in this press conference we saw on the Internet last night. You all
That's
have had
AI,
25-point obsession, and I get it. I do. But if I'm not mistaken, we just dropped 41 on Saturday. So maybe it's time to grab a hold of your little stepladders and go ahead and climb out of my ass for a while.
That's legit, John. I've just verified it. I found it three more times, even on Iowa's website.
All right.
Verified.
Make sure that AI artificial intelligence, man, because I had seen that in print, and I was like, man, no way.
He said, climb out of his ass with that ladder. So who'd you take? I'm sorry, I was finding that as you were talking it.
I got Penn State, man. Penn State is good enough to be anybody in the Big Ten, and everybody in the Big Ten except for Michigan.
All right. I'm going to take Penn State in a romp as well. They're going to win by double digits easily over them. Tanner, get that ladder, Tanner.
I think Penn State probably going to be maybe a whiteout. It's a night game down there in Happy Valley. Iowa might score 13 points.
Okay.
But over-under is 40, so, I mean, they got to take cover. Yeah. They're expecting this game to be like 28-10.
Yeah.
Something like
sure.
that. 28-13. Sure. That's a cover. Sure. That's what I'm going to call.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think Penn State. Give me the Nittany Lions. I think they got them.
Okay. Florida State -2.5 at Clemson. Tanner, will let you start. Big game.
Yeah, I'd like to see that number get to about 2. I'm kind of leaning Florida State. I didn't do my complete research on them. I was in deep on some other games that I was looking at. I haven't checked to see if that quarterback's playing or not, but I bet my guess is he is playing. Travis, I know he got hurt the other day, so
yeah, he came back in.
I think it's going to be tight, but I think Florida State's going to hold that run game in check for Clemson and make that quarterback, I can't pronounce his last name, start with K, but I think they're going to make him be a passer, and that's going to kill him, and I think Florida State probably wins by a touchdown.
Okay. Tanner, or Jonathan?
Where's the game at again, Brandon?
It is at Clemson.
Hey, man, Kirby's got to get the mojo back, man. I don't know what the hell happened against Duke a couple weeks ago. They've had some games bounce back, kind of flew on the radar. But, like, man, Clemson got to get the mojo back to where they in the top 25 and people talking about them and the Orange Crush and the ACC is back in the blah, blah, blah. And we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about Florida State.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And Miami Hurricanes, his quarterback, he might be, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I got Clemson getting the mojo back, man. They got to – and because, like, he's able to motivate today. I know we on prime time, and I know, you know, everybody's, like, you know, watching what Deion does. But we forget, like, hey, man, this dude used to be the guy. You know what I mean? And he got a bunch of four-star kids out there, and I get it. They ain't necessarily got sharpened just up yet to where we expect Clemson to be. You know what I'm saying? As far as, like, you know, again, remember, they went 8-0 last year in ACC play. I get it. Everybody doesn't give a damn about what you did last year, especially in ACC. But I'm just telling you what the dominance and what the expectation is, man. So I think they get to bounce back. I get it. Florida State is a little bit better this year. But, like, man, they still ain't – they got to show and prove, man. Florida State ain't necessarily showed it like they can do it on the road. They got a lot of, you know what I'm saying, big games they won at home this year. I get that. I love it, man. There's a lot of sweat that kind of they put it. I don't think he has to worry about it, looking over his shoulder no more about Deion coming there or anything like that. But, like, man, this is a big-time game on the road. I like Clemson. Give me Clemson.
Clemson and Florida State, they play noon kickoff Saturday. Noon kickoff, sleepy time. Sleepy time for one of these two teams. Clemson's won the last five times these two teams have played. Florida State ain't that old Florida State team. They've improved. They had a scare last week. But like you said, this is the one where Dabo's got to step those boys up one time to show them who they once were. And if they want to get back to where they are, it starts with this. I like Clemson with a bounce back here. Clemson outright wins this game. Noon kickoff. I think Florida State walks in a little sleepy. So I'm taking Clemson. Next game, gentlemen, number 17. Ooh, I don't know if I got the rankings right. Number 17, Ole Miss at number 11, Alabama. 7-point favorites, Alabama against Ole Miss. John, we'll let you start it.
I'm already locked in, remember?
Oh, yeah, you went earlier in the show. You in Alabama.
In.
Okay.
Yes,
well, John's in Alabama. This is going to be a good game. Alabama had a crazy one last week against USF. Looked wild as much as I – by the way, gentlemen, as we're talking about those two teams, I took Georgia at halftime minus two. Easiest bet ever, Tanner. Easiest bet, taking that minus two with Georgia. No,
which one?
Georgia. But – Ole Miss, Lane Train coming to Alabama. Saban's team just, he ain't got it this year. What I tell you, John, earlier, what, the fastball is gone. Saban's fastball is gone. And this Bama's, they have a quarterback identity crisis. And when's the last time we've heard that with Alabama and a Nick Saban team? So with that being said, I've got to go this way. Give me the Lane Train. He finally knocks off old Uncle Nick. He knocks him off. Give me Lane Train and them. My plus the 7, maybe lose by a field goal, but I hope they win outright. Tanner.
I'm with you. I'd like to see 7.5. Like I'm with you. That quarterback, they don't know what's going on right now. It's so bad. I'm just like, Saban's probably trying to get that. Archie Manning can come over there as quick as possible. If he could transfer midseason, he probably would take him. I don't know. They got another freshman quarterback. He didn't look. I know it was swampy out there last week in that hurricane they were playing in, and I made lots of money on that under when I saw it pouring.
You didn't take first half, did you?
No, I just took game under in that whole thing. Got it live at like 49. As soon as I saw it pouring, and it was 3-9, I took it live under 49. Wasn't even close. So, I like that. I wish he'd get to 7.5. I'm with you. I think Lane Train stays in there. I just think Saban's got a quarterback crisis. I think he needs to get it under control. I don't know what he's going to do. He never normally has a quarterback issue. He always seems to figure it out. So I think with that being said, I wish he'd get to 7.5. I'll take a push in this game if they only win by lose by a touchdown. But with that being said, I'll take Ole Miss.
Love it. Hopping aboard that train. If you can't hop on the Boilermaker train express, then you'll hop on the Lane train. I like it. I like it.
You'll never see me on that Boilermaker train, ever.
I think he'll get you back one more time. I think it'll be one more time.
The only Boilermakers I'll be doing is sending those shitty-ass shots to friends. That's the only time you'll ever hear a Boilermaker come out of my mouth.
Number 18, Colorado, undefeated at number 13, Oregon. Boys, this line is 21. Oregon, minus 21 in this game. Tanner, I'll let you know, Jonathan has drank the Kool-Aid. He is 130% in. He's already ordered his Colorado Buffs gear. He's got the Prime sunglasses on order. He is all about Colorado. This is the Jonathan Bird song, who a lot of times in our conversations has that old guy talk a little bit. Not in a bad way, John, but has that old guy sense of thought and how you need to be and all this. And this man is out here condoning. We got Lil Wayne coming out performing. We've got a posse around Dion. We've got just unbelievable craziness.
But Dion preaches like the right way. He preaches like, "Hey man, I want the best from you today."
He does, but the whole charade on the field is wild, absolutely wild.
Yeah, it's wild. It's wild.
And Shador Sanders poking a dude in the eye, coming out with the grill and shit on before the game in his mouth and wearing the chain. Yeah. It's just it's going to catch up with him.
Brandon, well, yes, right. But think about it. He grew up on TV. They was on Dion had a reality. He had a reality show. They kind of built.
We ain't in a reality show. We in real life.
Field is one thing. They talent is one thing. Talent says they can play football on that level, right? So we over that part. The problem is Dion doesn't have another thick layer of like the how you need. You know what I'm saying? So like you can only talk so much crap because now you overexerting your best players a little bit. He was already doing that anyway. You know what I mean? With the crazy stat lines that everybody had out, you know what I'm saying, when the game was over. But as far as them beating Oregon, like the best way to beat Oregon, I went back and seen some, like, you know what I mean, some of the games, like, at least since Bo Nix has gotten there, like the best way to beat, you know what I'm saying, is you got to speed it up for him and get to him, you know what I'm saying, because he's a pro-level quarterback. That's just the truth. So you got to make it as fast for him as possible and rush him. Because other than that, man, like, he's good enough to pick apart anybody. You know what I'm saying? And to get this game in a shootout. They've already had a couple shootouts already this year. I know everybody's going to be glued and everybody's going to, you know what I mean? But, like, one of their best players, he's their best player, is out of this game and probably out for the next game, too. I mean, lacerated liver? My goodness. You know what I mean? But, If they had all their bullets, man, this still would be a tough game, man. The Oregon, I'm saying like a 3-point difference because they're good enough to keep up with Oregon, and Oregon's good enough to let Colorado beat them. You know what I mean? It ain't like Oregon's just dominant on anybody. We've seen what they do, man. Like, hey, man, they fly in and beat Columbia, you know what I'm saying, beat Ohio State like they did a couple years ago, and then go lay a freaking egg against Stanford or in California. This is where Oregon, the same kind of guys here, but like, man, they're going to be keyed up for this game. You know that. They're going to get the best version of Bo Nix in that offense, man. I don't think there's no way I think they're going to lose by two touchdowns. Two scores, I would say.
So you're taking Oregon, Colorado.
I'm taking Colorado to cover.
Okay. Tanner.
I just think I heard him right there. I think the Colorado train kind of hits a stumbling block this week. So Hunter's out. I think Oregon's smart enough. Colorado only averages 61 yards on the ground. That's pretty shitty. I think Oregon's going to shut down the passing game. They're going to make Colorado run the rock. And obviously they can't do that very well. And when they shut down a one-dimensional team and that doesn't get going and they can't get the running game, all that spells for is blowout city. So give me quack, quack, give me the Ducks large.
Give me the Ducks large as well. This Colorado team can't even catch a cold right now, and you're without Hunter. Oregon will be prepped up and ready for this one. This is the same Oregon team just put up 81 2 weeks ago. They put up another 50 spot last week. They're not going to just win this game. They want to prove a point that they are still leaders of the Pac-12. It's a good show what Dion and them are doing out in Colorado. It's entertaining, and every single freaking game is wild, and I stayed up only for three quarters last week because I couldn't make it, and I had to work the next morning. But, no, man, I just think with Hunter it might be a little different, maybe a closer game. But with this being in Eugene, I think Colorado easily wins over the three touchdowns. I think there's should Sanders' Heisman candidacy is going to end right here. I think he's going to have at least 3 interceptions in this this game this week. So give me Oregon.
I'm with you. I think he's going to be behind and he's got the force.
By the way, I did put a nice bet on, we'll talk about it later, the game in a little bit, but I did put a nice bet on before last week on Sam Hartman to win the Heisman. Got him at a great value. Great, great value. So they win this week. They're in the driver's seat. So got nice, good value there. Plus 1,900. Number 24, UCLA at number 12, Utah. Utah minus 5. I think Cam Rising's back, boys. I will take Utah at home to cover. I think they win by a touchdown. John?
Give me UCLA, Luke. I'll take UCLA.
Okay. Tanner?
I don't like the 5 number. I wish it was down about 3.5. I think it's going to be a pretty tight game. I want to take Utah. If it was below this, I really don't want to take UCLA, so I'm kind of in a hard spot here on what to do. But like you said, with Rising back, 330 game, I'm just double-checking on here. He's questionable, but definitely if he's in, if this line starts moving the other way, I'm in trouble, but that means it's going up, so that it started lower. It started at 4 or 4.5, so it's going up, which I like because I like Utah. So with that, give me the Utes. I think it'll be close. I think it's going to be a tight cover. I don't see this game being more than a 10-point victory. So with that being said, tight one, I'll take the Utes.
Okay. Arkansas at number 14, LSU. LSU played a lot better last week. LSU minus 18. John, I'll go mine real quick. I'm going to take Arkansas plus the 18 here. I think KJ Jefferson and this Alabama or this Arkansas squad, I think they can keep it within 2 touchdowns. So I'm going to take Arkansas to cover. They're still going to get beat, but they'll cover. Tanner?
Arkansas. I don't know. I don't think I've betted against LSU the last couple times, and, man, they look good last week when they beat the hell out of Mississippi State. And I thought Mississippi State would keep it, but they're looking a lot better. I don't want to – as much as I dislike Brian Kelly, I just think I don't – not a big fan of him.
Shocker.
He's not with Notre Dame anymore.
He still can't win big games. He's 3-10. I mean, this isn't even a big game, so that's why I'm going to take him. I'm going to take LSU. This team was ranked – Brian Kelly's like 3-0 in big games. He sucks. You don't have that clutch genie in big games. I'll tell you, put his ass on the pile, tell it to him. And his fake-ass Southern accent. They're going to win.
Tanner,
I hate thinking, but
his big
since
game,
I'm trying to get
his
him.
His big game is – Tanner, I'm just saying, man, this is an argument for another time. His big game is usually like a national championship game, is it not?
Son, he can't win bowl games. Literally, in top 10 matchups, he's like 3-12.
He's only been in one championship, hasn't
he? Yeah.
Hold on,
by Clemson in the semifinals.
Yeah.
And they got dog walked by Bama.
That was going to happen.
I mean, dog walked
City. Hold on, man. Y'all know that was going to happen, though, right?
I mean,
to get there was an accomplishment for them, program.
That's what we're doing, participation trophies?
Yeah. I'm going to take you.
I'm just looking at, talent. Different argument for different time, man. Y'all didn't get – keep your Brian Kelly hate.
Who'd you take, John?
He's terrible.
No, I'm taking LSU. They're going to make a point.
Okay. So 2 on LSU. I'm on Arkansas. One of my favorite games I'm going to be watching is Oregon State -2 at Washington State. Give me Washington. I like Oregon State, but give me Washington State. Sneaky underdog at home getting points.
Yeah.
Give me Washington State.
I'll go with y'all to make it quick. I saw it up to 3. I was hoping, but obviously it's been getting betting down. So home, like you said, that's what I preached last week. A home team getting points. Can't beat that, especially in a ranked matchup. So, yeah, give me the Cougs and Washington State as well.
Tanner or John?
I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go with Oregon State. I do not know why. I think both of these teams are like, what, they're going to be like the remnants of the Pac-12 or whatever, right? But like, nah, man, I'm just going to go the other way, man. All these teams are kind of using the fact that they either they don't have a home next year or they're going to be playing a new home next year. They're using that as a platform to get the best, the best version of their team, man. So I expect a high-scoring game. I expect, you know what I'm saying? Because you really have like a coin toss of who could win this. So that's why I'm going with Oregon State.
Okay. Akron at Indiana. Indiana, 17-point favorites.
Really?
John, we'll let you go.
Man, I was disgusted at the Hoosiers, man. Did they not know there's two? Like, you got to start playing offense in the first quarter of the game so that by the end of the game, you can win it because the team with the most points, that's who wins the game. So they had a game against Louisville to where they didn't start playing offense consistently till the second half.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure they probably had I'm sure Tom Allen I'm sure he went into halftime and lost his mind, but like Purdue South, Louisville, you know what I'm saying, where Brom is at now, like they had enough padded league. They didn't even have to bring out no freaking offense. IU finally got on board, scored 2 touchdowns, man. What's the name's little brother? Looks like he can play quarterback, man, but there is no connective tissue of any kind offensively with IU. I won't be surprised if Akron beat them or hang around, man. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
You know that's a MAC team. They like to put up good numbers, man. Give me Akron in the upset.
Oh. Woo, Tanner.
I'm not disgusted with IU. I just know football good. Like they're not connected. Like, dude, you can't score? They got a pretty solid defense, man. Offense, I don't know. He needs to hire somebody from the Big 12 to help him figure that out.
All right, Tanner.
I think I'm just gonna go make it quick. I think IU's offense is in a struggle. I mean, they've only scored 3 set. I mean, they put up some on Indiana State, but
you're supposed to.
Didn't do much. But, I mean, but with that, I think their defense is good enough, and I think Akron's offense isn't good enough to probably keep pace. So with that being said, I think the Hoosiers this is their only chance to get a blowout dub probably all year long. And I think Tom Allen will try to probably get a blowout dub they got Indiana State, but they got to blow out these chump schools. So he's got to blow this team out. So give me the Hoosiers.
Okay. I'm going to take the Hoosiers as well. I think IU's defense is better. They'll probably score a touchdown at some point there, and defense is going to kind of do what happened this past week.
You mean the Mac?
I think they win by 24 points.
Yeah, I think they do as well. Tom Allen's getting a few other things. I mean, Jesus Christ, the fourth down call that he had against Louisville was atrocious. So, and he just lost.
They don't even have a running back that can run between the tackles. What the hell was he thinking?
Right?
You got to run a run pass option. You got to run a run pass option right there on 4th and 1. You can't just think you're going to have Jerome Bettis to bulldoze those people in the backfield.
Got to be kidding.
Yeah. Last one, boys. The premier game, number 6, Ohio State at number 9, Notre Dame. Ohio State, 3-point favorites on the road.
Bye.
I'm going to go first on this one, the last one here. Looking at this, guys, I think it's going to be a great game, kind of like it was last year. I'm going to go upset special. I'm going to go Notre Dame on this, covers and wins. Notre Dame wins. They cover the points. They continue the Sam Hartman train. This helps promote him to the Heisman level still. It helps my bet. That helps my bet I placed on Hartman to be Heisman. So I'm going to take Notre Dame plus the points.
Wow.
What do you think they win?
Brandon Reeve, if that happens, my goodness. The next day, Notre Dame beat Ohio. My goodness. It's going to be a big game, man. But if that happens the next game, man, the Notre Dame faithful are going to really believe that they're going to win and get into the national championship conversation.
They got USC still like 2 weeks later.
It's all right.
But I don't – I mean, but –
I mean, but there ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about that. USC's dog-walking people.
You might see a you're going to see a high performance out of, you know what I'm saying, the quarterback. That Brandon put money on this already. He put money on Sam Hartman already to be, you know. But I think you're going to see a Heisman moment or two out of, you know what I'm saying, Junior from Ohio State, man. So I'm going to kind of go the other way. I'm give me a – give. What's that now?
Kyle McCord?
No. Ohio State.
Yes, Kyle McCord is your quarterback.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about the wideout. I see him.
Oh,
see
Harrison?
Him three times. Correct. I see it. I leave three touchdowns. Three touchdowns at least. At least. And I'm going to Ohio.
Zach caught a gun charge. Killed a guy.
Whoa. Hey, man. They showed that on real. Man, we'll talk about that later. Dude, we can't talk about that later, man. He did.
Allegedly. I'll leave it as allegedly.
Right.
Allegedly.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm going to Ohio State, man.
Okay. Tanner, wrap us up.
Yep. I mean, last year, Notre Dame kept it close in there with a real shitty offense on the road and lost by 11. They got a better offense this year. Ohio State, they looked a little shaky at first. They still look a little shaky.
They put up 40.
They kind of shook off the cobwebs by putting up 63 on Western Kentucky. They barely beat IU. Barely beat Young. They're not blowing these teams out.
Right. That's mercy killing.
They beat them. They got Notre Dame, and they host Maryland, who's no slouch right now. They're putting up zillions of points the following week.
This is true.
Notre Dame, that estimate, he's been running the rock. The defense is strong.
Always.
I think Ryan Day, if he doesn't make a real push this year, he's going to be on the hot seat.
What?
Yeah, he is. If they lose this week and then lose to Michigan this year, his ass is gone. There ain't no way they're keeping him.
Oh, well, okay. You said Michigan. Okay.
If they lose again to Michigan, that fan base is going to be pissed.
Well, Brandon and Tanner, they're not going to beat Michigan. Sorry. It's not going to happen. That's different. That's show number 281. We'll get to that later, but, yeah. Go ahead, Tanner.
But you're telling me Notre Dame's going to catch 3 points in here? All you got, that quarterback, I don't think. Notre Dame's defense is pretty tough. Sam Hartman's actually, their offense is better this year.
Can I give you a stat line? Can I give you a stat line to add in?
Go for it.
Yeah, give us that line, bro.
Notre Dame is 14-1 since 2008 when they've worn a green alternate jersey. 14-1, they're wearing them Saturday.
That's a lot of, you know what I'm saying, Kelly teams, coach teams there, man, you haters.
Tom, he was wearing them those things and they were playing Navy. Get the hell out of here.
They beat Florida State as well.
So, that being said, I wish I had this Notre Dame fight song because I think they're going to win this game by a touchdown.
Go Irish.
Notre Dame.
There we go.
Coach is going to beat his old team.
Hail to Notre Dame. Take the
That's going to put a little feathers ruffled in the old Ohio State fan base if they take an L.
Man, they will. Oh, my goodness. They have parades at the circle.
I love it. So to recap,
there's probably
we've
not
got
gonna be enough booze, and South Bend's got to run out of booze. They're going to be drinking it so heavy, these Irish, when that game comes on at 7:30.
My goodness. I hope it happens, man. Like I said, I'm with Ohio State. Is that Notre Dame?
Yep.
Come on, John.
Come on. Are you trying to? Hey, no, Tanner. He's trying to get on South Bend. Like, dude, Tanner.
Come on, John.
We try to get a media credential to go to South Bend. They told us said Crossroads Sports wasn't big enough. I said, you can't be serious. We backed by David Letterman. We backed by Ball State University. We ain't big enough.
Come on, John. Take the Irish.
Brandon's up here brown nosing, man. He took he's so integrity. He took on the second other thing. Oh my God.
Come on, John. Take the Irish.
You ain't gonna go back to West Lafayette. Once I cut this up, you ain't gonna go back to West Lafayette. They got you singing. The Notre Dame Five.
Well, just as much as you think Notre Dame Five. I think there's going to be some people in there of Notre Dame that are going to be a little pissed off at you and Mr. Harbaugh's team. And you're taking the Ohio State.
Yep. That's probably rule number one.
That is rule number one. They even take the Indiana school. Come on, Buckeyes. You're going to get romped at Notre Dame. Green jerseys, John. Shit, Rudy might even be on the field. You know what, John? Netflix, they just put the movie Rudy up this week on Netflix.
No
don't think
effect.
That's not for no reason.
They don't have no prime effect, man. Who's the alumni coming here? LaFonso Ellis, he gonna be at the game?
And you know Tanner told
me.
You know what Tanner told me a secret one night at the bar when we were back in college.
Like Golden.
He whispered in my ear. He goes, Rudy was offsides. He told me that. He told me that Rudy was offsides. Lined up in the neutral
zone. This is a big time game. There's going to be a lot of alumni there, man. Mike Golick, I assume. You know.
Yeah, Rocket Ishmael. Tim Brown.
Jr.
Joe Montana.
Keep him away from
Carlisle Holiday.
Yeah.
Oh, that's your name. Never mind. That's your name. That's
Tyrone Willingham.
Lou Horsch in there.
John was a big Tyrone Willingham guy.
They're
going to
be there too now. Eddie George might
John likes the old T-bone.
John was a huge Ty Willingham guy.
He didn't get no broad deal. He should have never came to Notre Dame. He should have kept himself out there in Stanford. But, you know, once they call you, what you going to do, turn it down? So he went out there and did the best he could do.
Marcus Freeman needs a statement win. This is where you get
it. I know.
It
if he can do this again,
so
if he gets
this
one.
You think this is it right here? I was thinking it might be USC.
No, this
one. If he cracks them both, then he really may be the real deal.
So I think we're all in agreement. They're really – how many undefeated teams are we kind of looking at this year maybe? Under two? I mean, under three?
If you're giving me three as the number, I think it's right at three.
Okay.
We're talking Power Five too, right? We're not talking these scrub schools that end up being undefeated.
Right. No, I'm talking about Power Five. Power Five.
I think three. Does that sound about right, Tanner? You think?
Yeah, three. Yeah.
Because some teams are gonna start.
Let me see USC's schedule. If USC beat, let me see who they got. I mean, they actually have a tough schedule. The Pac-12. For being the last year.
Before the injury, I had Colorado losing one of these games, but not both of these games if they get ready to play. It's potentially that they're going to lose both of them, right, with the injury, you know what I mean, and, like, what that kind of looks like there for their team. But I it's not necessarily that I got USC going undefeated. I kind of got Michigan maybe going undefeated. Georgia didn't necessarily look like
They look wowing. They look strong. Georgia looks really strong.
SC's got a tough schedule. SC goes at Colorado next week. Then they got to go at Notre Dame. They're home against Utah. They're at Oregon. They're at home versus Washington, at home versus UCLA. If USC runs the tables, gosh damn, they might be the team to beat.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. You got to think about what version of Utah are you going to get. Cam Rising in and out of the, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? What version of UCLA?
But I mean, no one's even brought this up. Penix is putting up, Reef. That's a Heisman candidate.
Man,
that's
Michael Penix. I'm glad
numbers.
They got Michael Penix. Kiper got him. Kiper Jr. got him in the top six draft. Can you believe it?
Kiper Jr. got him in the top six. He is flipping it for the Huskies.
He's going to mess around with Chicago.
That's my one little tidbit that I'm going on side note.
Second round. I don't think he's going to be. I couldn't take him top six. But I could take him in the second round. Penix Jr.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they got to – in 2 weeks, so not on – no, they got a bye in there, too.
They're playing good.
October 14th, Washington host Oregon. That'll be a steamer.
And watch one of these Big 12 teams start to make some noise, man. Watch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Boys, I went back real quick before we wrap it up. I went back, found an article in 2017. It's been dated now, but the best Ball State football players in the past 25 years. And it goes by positions. One that we're trying to get on the show. John's working on getting us a little Nate Davis.
The homie, he went, and then there's another homie. Give me the name.
Willie.
Yeah,
Willie,
I'll go through.
Still playing.
Yeah, we're going to run out of time, but I'm going to run through these names real quick.
Mike Blair.
Quarterback, Nate Davis. In consideration was Keith Winning, Mike New, Joey Lynch, and Tamaje Hill. Running backs, Marcus Miller-Weather and Jawan Edwards. In consideration, Jaquel Lewis, James Gilbert, Tony Nibbs, and Adele Givens. Those were considerations.
Tony Nibbs, wow.
But, yeah, hey, Jaquel Lewis was in our era there, Tanner. Wide receivers, Willie Snead, Dante Ridgeway. In consideration, Dante Love, Brian Oliver, Jordan Williams, and Kevon Maboon. Tight end, our boy, Tanner, Darius Hill. In consideration, Zane Fakes and Ted Freeman. Offensive line.
Zane Fakes. He was close. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Offensive line. Andre Ramsey, Robert Brewster, Dan Gilberry, Jordan Hansel, and Jose Munoz.
What about the Huskies?
I think those first three played in the NFL, I think.
Yes, and they played during our time at Ball State. Kid O'Brien, Tony Roush, and Austin Holes were the offensive linemen in consideration. Defensive line, Keith McKenzie, Henry Hall, Jonathan Newsom, right. Joshua Polsey. In consideration, Damon Hummel and Bryant Berrigan.
Yeah, Keith McKenzie played for the Browns. That's my area. He played for the Browns.
Newsom played for Ohio State. That was a good transfer we picked up. He left Ohio State, came over. He did good for us.
Yeah,
played for the Colts for a little bit.
Linebacker, Kevin Johnson, Mark Paris, Aaron Graylock. Consideration with Aaron Morris and Lorenzo Scott.
Dude, Aaron Graylock and Kevin Johnson lived down the hall from me my freshman year, man. I got we were all like 18, 17 years old, man. You know what I'm saying? But I'm running around, and they run around.
That's probably when that defense was on the field all the time because we were losing 22 games to throw those defenses. Defenses were just piling up stats.
Defensive back.
13 tackles a game.
Defensive backs, Blaine Bishop, Corey Gillard, Justin Berhalter. And Sean Baker. Sean Baker was in our era, Tanner.
Yeah, Blaine Bishop went to school here at Cathedral. He went to here locally, Cathedral High School, man. He's real talented. He got a big hit on Joe Montana.
He played for the Titans. That dude was the real deal. I think he was on that. Yeah. Might have been on that Super Bowl team that lost.
Yeah, he was.
Yep.
He was. Yep.
Yeah.
Kicker, Ian McGarvey. Also a consideration with Steven Schlott and Brian Lucklider. By the way, forgot.
Yep.
Quarterback consideration, buddy of mine, B.J. Hill and Raphael Ball. Hill, buddy, good buddy of mine. Still.
Yep.
Punter, there's only one, boys. Well, there's three names. One, Brad Maynard. He's the main one. In consideration was Chris Miller and Reggie Hodges. And kick returner was Jamel Smith with consideration B.J. Hill, Juan Gorman, and Eric Williams. So just pretty cool last 25 years. This is a little dated. There might be some players to update and put in there since then.
Names in there, bro. Boss, they got some names in the NFL. That's what's up.
Yeah, for sure. So, Tanner, appreciate it, my man. We'll see you next week. Good luck on Pick'em. The conversation will continue on Twitter.
All right. Thanks, fellas. Take care.
All right, John. That is it. We're running out of time. I'll let you do your thing and wrap us out.
Man, just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Scott K. Nicholas State Farm Insurance. Our other sponsor, Mavericks Custom Motorsports. How could we do Crossroads Sports without them? Listeners, listen to me and my voice, my man. Check out, you know, both of our sponsors, man. They, I guarantee they got something that you're interested in. Outside of that, man, we had a great show tonight, man. We went over a little time, but we appreciate everybody chiming in tonight, whether you chimed in on Facebook Live or whether you called in tonight or whether you was like, and again, Tanner is the homie, so him always calling in with the pick'em is always great, man. But like I said, we ran over time tonight, man. If you didn't call in tonight, you wanted to, got too scared, man, you should have, man, because you missed another great one. But like, Brandon, another great episode, man. We're going to try to do it bigger, better than ever next week again, man. Crossroads Sports will be back. I'm Dr. Burson. That's Brandon Reed. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.